Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the Book of Acts. Good morning, faithful listeners, and welcome to the Bible Explained podcast. I have an exciting announcement. My YouTube channel is finally up to date with the podcast. So as you guys know, I kind of started my YouTube channel like 2 years ago, but I was really, really bad at keeping up with it. And I would just do like one episode on there every once in a while. Well, my mom took it over last year, like in the middle of last year. And she has done fantastically because she has updated my YouTube every single day and has put all of my episodes consistently from the podcast onto YouTube. And yesterday we finally caught up. All 900 episodes of the podcast are on YouTube. So that is very exciting. And I just wanted to give a shout out to my amazing mother for doing that completely volunteer in her own time. That was just very amazing of her, very sweet of her. And she is still continuing to put one episode up on YouTube every single day. So I very much appreciate my lovely mother for doing that for the podcast. So yeah, YouTube's up to date. That's an exciting announcement for me. And also, I had somebody, I just was tickled pink by this. I had somebody contact me a couple days ago to tell me to give tea another try. And she also sent me an infographic of how to boil tea, like the temperature to boil it at, and also gave me a nice long explanation of how to properly brew tea. Because apparently, very few people in America brew tea the right way. I guess you're not supposed to boil the water, which for me, I was always just throwing my electric kettle on, boiling the daylights out of it, and then pouring it over my tea bag. So maybe I might start liking tea better if I don't boil the water ahead of time. So that was very nice. So thank you to Emily for reaching out to me and telling me to give tea another try. Let's go ahead and read Acts chapter 25, verses 1 through 12 today. This is a new chapter of Acts, and we're going to be discussing from here on to the end of the book of Acts, the struggles and trials that Paul goes through while being in prison. So let's talk about this. I'll be reading out the WEB, as I usually do. Make sure to grab your cup of coffee or your cup of properly boiled tea, along with the version of the Bible that you prefer. And let's read Acts 25, 1 through 12. Festus, therefore, having come into the province, after 3 days went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. Then the high priest and the principal men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they begged him, asking a favor against him that he would summon him to Jerusalem, plotting to kill him on the way. However, Festus answered that Paul should be kept in custody at Caesarea, and that he himself was about to depart shortly. Let them, therefore, he said, that are in power among you, go down with me, and if there is anything wrong with the man, let them accuse him. When he had stayed among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and on the next day he sat on the judgment seat and commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing against him many and grievous charges which they could not prove. While he said in his defense, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I sinned at all. But Festus, desiring to gain favor with the Jews, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and be judged by me there concerning these things? But Paul said, I am standing before Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, as you also know very well. For if I have done wrong and have committed anything worthy of death, I don't refuse to die. But if none of those things is true that they accuse me of, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, you have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go. So poor Paul has been stuck in prison now for 2 years under Governor Felix. And we talked about Felix a couple days ago and just a little bit about him historically, who he was and who he was married to. He happened to have three wives, And I don't know if he was married to them all at one time or if he just kept getting divorces. I don't know. But he had three wives. And I actually found out today that one of his wives could have been the great-great-granddaughter of Cleopatra, which I found kind of interesting. So that kind of shows a little bit about who Felix was. Governor Felix, he was very powerful. You know, he had a lot of influence with a lot of different people. One of his wives also was the sister of King Herod Agrippa II, who we're actually going to talk a little bit about next week on Tuesday, because he's mentioned in this chapter, and he's kind of a weirdo, so he's going to be fun to talk about. But anyway, Felix, Governor Felix, threw Paul in prison for 2 years, even though Felix knew that there was nothing wrong with Paul. Like, Paul had done nothing wrong, and yet he still threw him in prison. And one of the reasons, actually, he threw him in prison was because Felix was extremely corrupt, and he was hoping for a bribe from Paul. And he was not a very good governor, and that's what ended up being his downfall, actually. He was so corrupt that he ended up getting his role as governor taken away from him because he had charges brought against him. He was stripped of his governorship, sent to Rome, and put on trial for corruption and cruelty charges. And he was found guilty, shockingly enough. And he ended up not being the governor anymore after that. He was succeeded by this guy named Porcius Festus, who we read about today. And Festus was actually, as compared to other Roman governors, a little bit nicer. In fact, there's not much about him historically of him ever doing anything cruel or mean or corrupt. So as compared to other Roman governors, he was like a saint. But Festus, even though there's nothing really bad about him historically, he still was not a very nice guy because of what we read about today. So it says in verse 1 that Festus, having come into the province after 3 days, went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. So this just shows, you know, Festus was a little bit different than Felix was, because Festus was like ready to go. He was going to do his job. Whereas we kind of see Felix kind of sitting back, relaxing, enjoying life, accepting bribes, really not doing much at all other than just being a corrupt politician. But Festus, 3 days after becoming the governor of Caesarea, goes into Jerusalem, probably to try to learn a little bit more about who the people are that he is going to be governing. And of course, Jerusalem being such a huge city and basically like the hub for all activity, for all Jewish activity, he decides to go there to see what's going on. So he travels to Jerusalem after 3 days of becoming the governor from Caesarea. And as he's in Jerusalem, it says that the high priest and the principal men of the Jews came to him and begged him, is what it says, informing him against Paul and asking Festus to do them a favor. So the second Festus gets into Jerusalem, the high priest is all up in his business. And he's like, look, we really need you to do us a favor. There's this Paul guy that Felix left in prison in Caesarea that we really, really don't like. And the reason we don't like him is because of blah, 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 and blah. And they're like, look, can you please just bring Paul down to us, you know, because he's a Jew and he should come down to Jerusalem to be judged. But in verse 3, they were plotting to kill him on the way, is what it says. However, Festus answered that Paul should be kept in custody at Caesarea and that he himself was about to depart shortly. So scripture here actually implies that Festus did not know about the plot for the high priest and the priests to kill Paul. And notice how it's changed a little bit. This plot has changed, because the last time we see people plotting to kill Paul, it was 40 assassins. Okay. And now it's the high priest himself and the priests themselves willing to do the dirty work. That is how much they hate Paul. Not only that, it's been 2 years later since the first attempts on Paul's life. It's been 2 years and they still just can't let this go. They are willing to dirty their own hands in order to kill Paul. That is how much they hate Paul. That is how much they just can't let this go. They are not happy with Paul rotting in prison. They want and need Paul dead. And it's very sad that these men called themselves religious, because this is not any religion that Yahweh tells us to follow. There is no law in the Old Testament that tells us to murder people. Instead, there's a law in the Ten Commandments that says, do not murder people. So these men were calling themselves religious leaders, but they weren't actually religious at all. The only thing they were religious about was following their own desires and following whatever they wanted to do. They were not on the path that led to God. They were on the path that led to destruction. And people who are on the path to destruction cause a lot of destruction. And so notice these men here, this high priest and the priests, they are plotting to kill Paul. They are plotting to destroy Paul. They are plotting destruction against somebody. And they are willing to do it with their own hands. Now, personally, like I said, I don't believe that Festus knew about the plot. Scripture kind of implies that. And also he mentions here, no, I don't want to bring Paul down to Jerusalem to be charged by you guys because I'm going to be leaving in a few days. So I'm going to be going back up to Caesarea to go home and to start my job as governor up there. So here's what he says to them. He says, I'm going to go home soon. So how about you guys come with me and we will try Paul again, is what he says. So here's what it says in verse 5. Let them, therefore, he said, that are in power among you, go down with me. And if there is anything wrong with the man, let them accuse him. So when he had stayed among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And on the next day, he sat on the judgment seat and commanded Paul to be brought. So when he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem with him stood around him, bringing against him many and grievous charges, which they could not prove. I like that Luke, the author of Acts, is like, yeah, they're bringing all these charges that they could not prove. I think it's funny that he mentions that very, very specifically, that nothing could be proved here. You know, all these people are bringing charge after charge after charge against Paul, and none of them could prove a single thing about it. So Paul, in his defense, says in verse 8, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I sinned at all. And it was probably, of course, a lot longer than that. I think Luke is sort of giving us the gist of what happened here, that Paul is actually providing evidence that, first and foremost, he did not sin against the law of the Jews. Secondly, he did not sin against the temple. There was no evidence of that. And thirdly, he did not sin against Caesar either. So now Festus is listening to all of this, and I think he's starting to realize that Paul is innocent. There's nothing wrong with Paul at all. But because he desired to gain favor with the Jews, he answered Paul and he said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and be judged by me there according to these things, or concerning these things rather? And so what Festus is doing here is he's trying to get on the good side of the Jews because he's just become the governor. He's been governor for like 2 weeks up until this point. And he doesn't understand why the Jews are bringing these charges against Paul. He has no clue. And probably also Felix left a huge mess for Festus to clean up as well. In fact, that's historical that Felix did, in fact, leave a huge mess for Festus. So there's also some of that going on, I'm sure. And so Festus, just trying to do a good job, but unfortunately trying to please human beings instead of pleasing God, starts to try to do a favor for the Jews. And so he's like, Paul, hey, why don't you come down to Jerusalem with me and we'll hear about all of these things there? Because that is what the Jews asked me to do. They wanted me to bring you down to Jerusalem. And of course, the only reason they really wanted Paul to come down to Jerusalem, which was for one reason, which was to try to kill Paul, to literally lay in wait for him, to kill him. And so Paul, I think, recognizes this because he already had an attempt on his life, actually multiple times, from these same Jews. So why would he trust them now that if he leaves Caesarea to go to Jerusalem, that his life is not going to be in danger? And he says as much, basically. He says, no, I don't want to go to Jerusalem. I am not going to go to Jerusalem. So I am appealing to Caesar. Here's what he says. I am standing before Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, as you very well know. So he's telling Festus, he's like, look, Festus, I just brought all this evidence in front of you. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, that I am, in fact, innocent. You know it. And yet you're still trying to please these Jews and bring me to Jerusalem. Verse 11, if I have done wrong and have committed anything worthy of death, I don't refuse to die. But if none of these things is true that they accuse me of, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar. So Paul's like, I am not going to die by the hands of these Jews, even though Festus, you are leading me down the path of being killed by these guys. Even though you know for sure that I am innocent, you are not being fair. You are not being just. You are trying to do a favor for these people and get me killed. So I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to appeal to Caesar. So Festus listens to what Paul has to say. He turns around and talks to his counsel who advises him. And then he says to Paul, you have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go. Now, what's very sad about all of this is that this Caesar happened to be Nero. And Nero famously has been credited with the death of Paul. Most likely it was Nero who beheaded Paul. And of course, that was several years after Paul got to Rome, actually. Paul basically was stuck in Roman prison for a while as well. But while he was in Rome, he had the chance to write several books of the Bible. And he also got the chance to minister to all of Caesar's household because Paul was actually in chains in Caesar's household. So even though Paul has just appealed to go to one of the most notorious Caesars that we know of, notorious Caesars that actually hated Christianity, God was still going to use Paul's life to minister to so many people. Paul had once been the man who ministered and traveled around and went on missionary journeys to the Gentiles, to the poorest people. And now Paul is going to stand in front of governors and kings and teach about Jesus to them. So Paul didn't have a fun rest of his life, but he had a lot of purpose. And that's really the point of all of this. And that's basically what Paul is saying here. He says, if I have done anything worthy of death, then I'll die. But if I have not done anything worthy of death, then I am going to continue doing my purpose, which is to preach the name of Jesus. And I am not going to die until my time is up, until God tells me that my time is up. Until then, I am going to continue to preach the gospel to every single person. And that's what Paul did. He truly lived the Great Commission, even though I'm sure it was so difficult at times. God continually used Paul to preach the gospel to every single person. And that is an inspiration to every single Christian reading the book of Acts. Paul's life really is inspirational because Paul was a human just like us. He was a human being. He had flaws. He had problems. There were times in his life where he compromised, and yet he still continued to live in the purpose that God had for him. He did not give up. He famously said, I run the race until it is finished. So moral of the story, don't give up. Even when things get very hard, even when things get unbearable at times, God has you here for a reason and for a purpose. So run the race and don't give up. Well, I hope that this episode was encouraging to you. And if it was, share it on your social media platforms and tell people about the Bible Explained podcast and share this episode so that you can encourage other people as well to not give up, even if they are going through something that is very, very, very difficult. But make sure to check out also all the links listed in the description of this episode. Check out 7 Weeks Coffee because they make delicious coffee. And their coffee supports such a great cause. It supports women's care centers. They were able to donate $200,000 over the past 2 years to women's care centers. And also when you use my link, 10% of your purchase also benefits P40 Ministries. Faithful listeners, I will see you guys tomorrow for an episode out of 1 Samuel. Happy listening, and God bless.